them. And also, we had 102 out in Sunday school. That's good. We had 116 in our morning service on the Carbondale Route 33, Scranton Route 36, Wilkes-Barre Route 14, 33 drive-ins, 116, and then four baptisms. And Sunday night, we had 46, just under 50. Praise God for that. We thank God for what's going on in church, and I believe God used what's gone on with Charlie Kirk, that he's graduated to heaven, but God used that. Just pray it continues to be used. I just heard another guy bit the dust, Colbert, and now Jimmy Kimmel has been fired on the spot. Praise God for his mouthing off about Charlie Kirk, and he's gone. Kimmel's gone. I don't know what Brother Eric's going to watch tonight, but but anyway, thank God for that. Well, tonight I've often said, you've heard me say it, that Israel is God's time clock to watch for the end of the age, for the second coming of the Lord, and for the rapture of you who are in the bride of Jesus Christ. And recently, you've heard me say that Israel is God's clock for the end of the world. It's the time clock. And so, the super part of the end of the world on that time clock is the hour hand. In May 14, 1948, Israel, after all those years since AD 70, was regathered and became a nation in their land with their same language, and what a fulfillment that was. So that was like the hour hand of the time clock telling us we're getting close to the end. And then I've said the capital city of the land of Israel is the city of Jerusalem. As Huckabee said the other day, Jerusalem. How many heard his speech there in Israel as they were looking at the archaeological find of Hezekiah and the tunnel there and all that pertains there to him. Marco Rubio was there. But anyway, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. 3,000 years ago, David's general Joab, as Benjamin Netanyahu said, cleared out a tunnel that they showed the tunnel that's there today. And Joab went up through that tunnel and knocked out the Jebusites and took it over as the city of David, the capital of Israel. And in June of 1967, June the 7th, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, in the Six-Day War, recaptured the old city, David's city of Jerusalem. And praise God, that was the minute hand on the clock that says we're in the end times. And I was watching ever since then, because I got saved June the 16th, 1967, just a little bit after that great event. And then many presidents since then have said the U.S. Embassy should be moved to Jerusalem, but only one president had the cojones to do it, Donald Trump, Donald John Trump. December of 2017, he promised it to happen, and on May 14, 2018, get this, just 70 years after May 14, 1948, count the time, it was done. The embassy opened its doors. I don't know about you, but I praise God to be alive at a time of the most prophetic events in 2,000 years. This is an exciting time. You are living in biblical times. You are living in the end times of the end. And May 1948, June 7, 1967, and December 2017, and May 14, 2000. These are exciting events. That's the minute hand of prophecy being fulfilled. And then within that holy city, you know and I know there's a place where 4,000 years ago, a man named Abraham was told to sacrifice his son on one of the mountains of Moriah. And he had the knife up, ready to sacrifice his son Isaac, the son of promise. But God stopped it and gave him a male lamb instead to offer up. And that is on that mountain range in a place called Golgotha is where the fulfillment of that son of Abraham was the Son of God crucified for our sins. And that temple mount, Mount Moriah, is the second hand of Bible prophecy. And that's where our king priest is going to reign in the Holy of Holies. You know, they mocked him. They said, oh, King of the Jews. They put a gorgeous robe on him. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. They said, oh, King of the Jews. And then Pilate put on it, King of the Jews. And the leaders of Israel said, why'd you put king? Just put, he said he was the king. Pilate said, what I've written, I've written. He is the King of the Jews. But he had to be a cursed king in order to reign and to rule. And praise God, he went through that. And I know that the Bible says that we are getting closer to the second hand. And what's the second hand of the end of the world? It's on top. It's in the land of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem. It's on top of that temple, Mount Moriah, that Dome of the Rock, that abomination, that place there of the Islamic abomination. I'm telling you, it's going down. It's going down. I hope I see it in my lifetime. I'd like to see a bomb exploded. I don't know how it's going to be knocked out or what's going to happen. I'll tell you what, they should have taken it out in 1967. But God had a purpose. God had a purpose. That was the time for the minute hand, but now we are living in the time of the second hand. You say, how do you know, Pastor? They've already got all the garments ready for the priest. They've already used DNA to discover who the Kohanim are. You know who the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron. They know who they are. They're already training them to do all the work that needs to be done in the third temple. If you count the tabernacle, the fourth, the third temple, they've already been training them. It's already ready. They've already offered the red heifer. And some say it was a real red heifer. Others say it was a practice. I'm not sure, but they have more waiting, and they've only had 9 red heifers in all the thousands of years of Israel's history. This will be the 10th one, and it will be needed for temple sacrifices. So I'm saying tonight, and it's on my heart, that I agree with Bill Salas that there are some war prophecies that are beginning even now in the Middle East that are in the Old Testament, and I believe they're now prophecies. And these now prophecies are something you should be watching for. They should be stirring you up to get ready for Jesus to come back and therefore to live a holy life and to live for the Lord and be like a bride that's engaged, that's waiting for her bridegroom to come and for the wedding and to be faithful and not to commit whoredom with the world that we live in. And these now prophecies are helping to set up for the fulfillment of a next prophecy, such as the actual rebuilding of the temple on Mount Moriah. And you know, I learned a lot about the last 7 years before the 1,000-year reign of Christ. I, for instance, know about Isaiah 28, verse 15 and 18. Do you know about that? You know what that's about? That's when Israel is led, no doubt, by the Jewish Antichrist to make an agreement with the Gentile world ruler who will be prominent in the EU and come to power over the EU and over the entire one world globalist government where Europe will be the center of it. And I agree with that Europe, I don't believe Mecca will be the center of it, like Joel, what is it, Richardson says. He had a big debate with Bill Salas, and Bill's right, Joel's wrong. But I believe it'll be Europe and the revived Roman Empire, you know. And Israel, eventually, after all God will do for it, will do something wrong. And it will make an agreement to give up its sovereignty and become part of the EU for popularity and for protection. sellout. And the Lord says the beginning of sorrows will come in, beginning of birth pangs, first 3.5 years of those 7 years. Then in the middle of it, that world leader will have a image of himself under the Jewish Antichrist put in the Holy of Holies, and Jewish people will flee in horror, and then Christians around the world will be subject to persecution, and that will begin the Great Tribulation, and that will be cut short by cosmic darkening, and then a great earthquake, and then the Lord will come in glory and rapture us out of here sometime. We don't know the day or the hour during the second 3.5 years. I've known all that, but I've always asked God, what about now till then? What about now till the beginning of the 7 years? I know all these detailed prophecies, but I want to get ready for right now. And so I'm watching for the now prophecies that I believe are on the parchment of the Bible, but they're now beginning, in some cases, I believe, to roll off the parchment and hit down on the pavement. And I'm watching for the rest of the fulfillment of these prophecies. So the message I want to introduce tonight is the nearness of the now prophecies touching Israel. The nearness of the now prophecies touching the nation of Israel. And I want to say, number one, it points you to bless the nation of Israel. I want to tell you, I want the blessing of God in my life. And so I'm not here to slander Israel. The devil is, his name means, devil and Satan, adversary and slanderer. He is somebody that slanders what God loves and always speaks evil of it. And he can't stop it. Why? The devil is filled with jealousy. He's filled with rage against God and God's work. Remember when the devil got Balaam, actually King Balak, to pay off Balaam with great wealth and great fame if he would curse Israel and slander Israel and speak? And what did Balaam? Couldn't do it. God filled him, and he spoke praise of Israel. And you know what? I can't do it. I just, every time I want to open my mouth, I want to praise God for Israel. We got the Bible from Israel. We got our Messiah from Israel. The kingdom of God is going to come to earth through Israel. My friend, I can't slander Zionism because he's going to reign from his holy hill in Zion. I can't join Tucker Carlson and slander Israel. I can't join Alex Jones and slander Israel. I can't join Owen Scheuer, who I'm glad is off Alex Jones, and slander Israel. I can't join Candace Owens and slander Israel. But these people, they can't shut their mouths up. They have to slander Israel. They have to come up with conspiracy theories. I just heard of a conspiracy theory that says that Benjamin Netanyahu put a hit out on Charlie Kirk. And I have looked into this and researched this in depth. And these kind of conspiracy theories are from hell. They're of Satan, and there's hundreds of them out there. And if you play into that, you're a fool, because you're going along with exactly what the Bible says will happen at the end, that all the nations... Why do you think the UN is against Israel? It's Satan runs the UN. He's the god of this world. And until Jesus Christ comes back, you're not going to... You look at all the nations of the world, they're all against Israel. How do you know they're for a Palestinian state? They're against Israel, except for the United States. And I think Greenland, and that's about it. Alaska, but Alaska's part of the United States. I mean, they're all turning. Either they are for it or they're planning to do it. So I want to say the nearness of the now prophecies touching Israel points you, beloved, to bless the nation of Israel. You say, where is that found, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. You know, Tucker Carlson asked Ted Cruz where it was, and Ted couldn't give the chapter, but Ted schooled Tucker when he said, I heard it in Sunday school. I heard it in church. I'm not a theologian, but it's in there, and he's right. Well, is it the government of Israel, said Tucker? Is it the nation, and is the nation? Yeah, the nation of Israel is Israel. And they say, oh, the Jews back then aren't the Jews now. That is a bunch of twisting of the scripture. The DNA is the same. My friend, where did they put all those Jews? It's the Jews that came out of the Holocaust and came out of unbelief and were regathered, Ezekiel 36 and Ezekiel 37. I just heard Charlie Kirk talking about that, Ezekiel 36 and 37. By the way, I heard him just speak about that on a video. And he defended Israel over and over and over again. And he said, unlike Candace Owens said, that is the guy that works closely with Charlie Kirk and works with, said that he was not paid off to say anything positive for Israel. He was not being bribed. He was not being pressured at that place in the Hamptons or wherever it was by Ackerman. And Ackerman's come out and it's baloney. Don't believe the slander. Don't believe the lies. Get away from it. Just like great men of God, when I hear them being slandered, I turn off and turn on to whatsoever things are good, lovely, of good report. If there be any virtue. Get away from these conspiratorial idiots that are saying these kinds of things. And I'm saying that we can praise God that the Israeli people are regathered back to their land, and God is getting ready to bless Israel to go through the great tribulation and to go through the day of the Lord and to come out, and one third of them will survive, and all of that one third of the nation will be saved. And when they get saved, praise God, Jesus is going to reign over this earth for 1,000 years of peace. And that's just the first phrase. Then there'll be the great white throne, and we'll go into the eternal kingdom of Jesus on earth. Wow, I am so glad. These are not fairy tales. I am telling you the God's honest truth. And all of these prophecies I'm giving you are from the Word of God. And so, what's my point? I'm trying to make a point that God says in Genesis 12, 2 and 3 to Abram, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. Are the Jewish people today a nation? Yes. Are they a great nation? Yes. Do they have a great army? Check it out. They had no army when they were going to the concentration camps, but God has blessed them. And make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee. Lord, bless Israel. I praise you for Israel. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth. Don't mess. Don't mess, friend. And in thee, that's Israel, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And I've just said, we've gotten blessed from the nation of Israel. Even when they crucified their Messiah, we got a blessing. Because that's what got us to be the bride of Christ and got us to be one with the people of God. I mean, even when they mess up, they bless us. And so we got to praise God. So I'm just saying, Israel is a blessing, and those that have cursed Israel have paid the price. I'm thinking now in Egypt, the 13th dynasty of Pharaoh of Egypt. Remember he tried to kill the Jewish babies? Remember he raged against the Jews, the Israelites, and he wanted to put them down, and he started killing all the male children and all of that. And you know, he had them thrown into the Nile River and drowned the Jewish babies. And what did God do to him? He put him under the Red Sea. And he put all of his army under the Red Sea. And he brought Israel out through the midst of the sea. That man cursed Israel and he went down. And then remember the next great empire, the mighty Assyrian Empire. You remember that? I don't think you were alive back then, but the Assyrian Empire had a guy named Sennacherib. He had a general named Rabshakeh. He came into the southern kingdom of Judah after he'd annihilated all the nations, including the northern nation of Israel. God let it happen because they disobeyed God. But then he came into the southern kingdom with King Hezekiah, and he started saying, you're going to be beat. You know, all these nations have been beat. They believed in their gods, and Hezekiah went to God in prayer. And God sent one angel and killed 185,000 Assyrian superpower soldiers in one night. I'm just saying, how do you think in 1948 the Egyptian and Arab people, they said to the quote-unquote Palestinians, what are Palestinians? They're just descendants of Esau intermarried with Ishmael, or Arabs, who happened to live in the Promised Land. When God said in 1948, Israel's a nation, there's no Palestine. It's Israel. Call it Israelistine. Israel. And one of the great Palestinians, I can't say his name, but this guy, you got to hear him speak. He nails it like nobody nails it. He's the son of a Palestinian terrorist leader, and he tells it like it is. I've never heard a guy, I mean, he's great. But I'm just saying that they said to the people that lived in Israel that were Arabs and descendants of Esau intermarried, they said, listen, they're declaring themselves a nation. We've got millions of us. We're going to come in and destroy them. And all we ask you to do is move out of your house, come to our land. We will destroy them. And as soon as we do, you get your house back, plus a lot of their land and houses too. And they're like, wow, this is great. We're going to do it. And you know what happened. God did miracles, and Israel won. And instead of giving them their house back, they wouldn't let them live in their land. They said, get out of our land. We can use you in that. And the Arab Islamic people have been using the quote-unquote Palestinian people, who are just Arab Esauites. They're just using them to try to make Israel look bad. They're trying to play victim, and that's all they're doing, and it's a trick. They're causing all the problems and then claiming that we're the victims and we're not causing the problem. This Palestinian guy that I'm talking about, he said, Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli army are our greatest helpers, because he said, Hamas and the PLO, they're both bad, he said. They're both the same. They're both the same. He said, they just want to use our children as shields, and they're trying to destroy us. He said, Israel's trying to clean up the mess that they have been making over there. And I'm just saying that Sennacherib not only was defeated and left Israel, left Judah, but his own sons killed him. And then the Grecian Empire. Well, then Cyrus helped Israel and God blessed them, but then Haman came up and he tried to eradicate the Jews, and God caused a Jewish holiday called Purim. Thank you. Purim. And every time Satan has tried to eradicate Israel, God raises up a holiday. He raises up a holiday for them. And Hitler tried to get rid of them, and now they have May 14, 1948, the holiday. Antiochus Epiphanes tried it, now they have Purim, a Persian ruler. Spain was a leading world power. They kicked the Jews out of Spain, and England defeated them and became a great power. God blessed England. Then in World War I, Britain had defeated the Turks, who ruled the Promised Land from 1517 to 1917. But Britain was blessed because they blessed Israel. And Britain promised a homeland for the Jews in their promised land. And they wanted to reward a Jewish man named Chaim Weizmann. He was a biochemist who invented a process to produce acetone. It was a key component of an explosive in World War I that helped the British win the war. But they didn't keep their agreement to really help Israel get their homeland. And after Hitler in World War II persecuted and killed 6 million Jews, and they were trying to get back to their promised land, the British people held them up and caused a lot of them to die and treated them badly. And Britain went down in power. And right now, Britain is overrun with Islam. Do you see it? They don't even have freedom of speech in Britain anymore. It's run downhill. And they, along with France, are going along with a Palestinian state. Let me tell you, that Palestinian state is a fake. It's not God's plan. And I am just saying that Donald John Trump has been a friend to Israel. And the United States has been a friend to Israel, starting with Harry Truman, the same year Trump was born. God raised up Trump, I believe, to be a friend to Israel. And that will bless this nation. That will bless America. Because God wants America to be a friend to Israel. God wants America to be prosperous so that we can have churches that can support missionaries and our church, and we can do the work of the Lord. And so you ought to pray for and encourage and stand up for God's plan for Israel and to be bold. Why? Because I'm saying tonight, the nearness of the now prophecies touching Israel points you to bless the nation of Israel. I bless Israel tonight. I bless Israel's Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah of Israel. And we hold him up. And so number two, it points you to watch for the fulfillment of the Mideast war prophecies. See, God gave Israel the promises of a specific land. It says in Genesis 15 and verse 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram. You know what that covenant's called? The Abrahamic covenant. And when God makes a covenant, he keeps it. A lot of people, they enter a church, they make a covenant to be faithful, and then they're not faithful. And one day you see them, the next day you don't. One day they're in, the next day they're out. Don't be like that.
Right.
Now, some men, they have a covenant to love their wife. I like what Charlie Kirk said. When a man gets married, he wears black, a black suit and tie usually. Woman wears a beautiful white. He said a man wears the same suit at his marriage he does at his funeral. He said, why is that? Because he's dying as far as hookup culture. He's dying as far as any other woman that would be in his life. He's dying to his own selfish ambitions to take care of his bride. He said, that's why a man wears a dark suit when he gets married. It's as a funeral. And so I'm saying that God made a covenant and God keeps his covenant. He's never gone back on the Abrahamic covenant. In fact, he shed blood, the blood of his own son, to make sure that the Abrahamic covenant would come to pass in the new covenant that's going to fully bring it to pass. But here's what he said. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. You know what that is? That's way down as a branch of the Nile River in the Sinai and in Egypt, in part of Egypt, all the way up to modern-day Iraq. I mean, it takes in, Israel's about the size of the state of New Jersey. You notice every time they had a war, Israel got more land? They gave them this little sliver of land, but Israel keeps growing. And then when it grows, what did they say? Give us back that land. Give us back that land. We tried to eradicate you, and you won, but now give us back that land. That's not God's plan. Sarah recognized the brewing Israeli-Arab conflict. It says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now, I know Sarah created the problem, but she recognized that they couldn't be together, that her son was the son of promise. And here's what God said. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. He said, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Genesis 21, 9 through 12. See, God said, I'm going to bless the Arab people. They're going to have a lot of people, but they better recognize that it's through Isaac that the blessing is going to come on the world. We want Arab people to get saved, but they've got to acknowledge Israel. They've got to acknowledge that the Lord Jesus came from Judah, part of Israel, and accept him as their Savior. Is that too much to ask? No, it's not. And I'm just saying, you've heard of Trump derangement syndrome? Many people have Israel derangement syndrome. If you've seen Trump derangement syndrome, watch now for Israel derangement syndrome, because you're going to see some quote-unquote conservatives that got that. And that is going to have to be something you're going to have to deal with. That's why I'm preaching to you about these things tonight. Just as Israel's become a nation in the end times, so the ancient rival Arabic nations and peoples such as Syria, Jordan, Saudis, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Iraq, Kuwait, and so forth have appeared along with Egypt. And of course, these Arab nations were deceived by Muhammad, who took elements of Christianity and AD 600 and elements of other things of polytheistic religion and made it into a moon god. Out of 360 deities, he chose Allah and made that. Allah is not God. He's a lie. Muhammad's a lie. He went with a 9-year-old girl, or went with a 7-year-old, married her, and consummated it when she was 9. He's a pedophile too, on top of it. And I'm just saying that God's plan for Israel runs right into that rivalry between Sarah and Hagar, between Isaac and Ishmael, and also it runs a rivalry between fraternal twins, Jacob and Esau. Rebekah had a struggle in her womb, Isaac's wife, and she had fraternal twins. She said, why are they fighting in there? What's going on in there? And God said, there's two nations represented in your belly, and the younger one of the fraternal twins will be the leader, the one that I bless. He'll be the one with the Abrahamic covenant. And Rebekah told Isaac, and Isaac should have known better. But he chose Esau. You know, there are a lot of dumb bunnies that are choosing the Palestinian cause today. And they should see through it. If you know your Bible, it's just a trick of Satan. And so Rebekah had that struggle, and she told Isaac, but he failed to choose. But here's what God said in Malachi 1, 2, and 3. I have loved you, saith the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. You see, God saw the pride of Esau. He saw the hatred of Esau. And he said, I hate that. He said, I chose Jacob. You should have gone along with that and gotten blessed, Esau. But instead, you wanted to be a brother and have your pride and hate your own brother. That I chose, and I hate that. And God said, I chose Israel. Deal with it. He chose Jesus. Deal with it. If you do, you'll be saved. If you don't, you're going to stub your toe on the stumbling stone. On the way to church, I talked to three guys. One was Islamic, and two others were just somewhat religious. I gave them all the gospel, and I was done. They all prayed to receive Christ. I told them about Jesus. Right on School Street, they got schooled. Amen? That's what we need to be doing. That's what you need to be doing. That's what I need to be doing. And I'm saying that Esau now became the father of the Edomite people. They intermarried with Ishmael's family. Remember, Esau married a daughter of Ishmael, one of Ishmael's family. And so there's an intermarriage amongst these people. Thus, Arab-Edomite or Esauite coalition has that ancient hatred against Jacob and Israel. And it's manifesting in these end times. And it's a satanic opposition that people... Listen, there's devil getting into people today. And they're stirring up that hatred. Don't fall for that kind of satanic hatred. And I'm not saying everything Israel does is right. I'm just saying God chose them. Get with that and bless that. And Satan is just busy cursing Israel. Now, you hear this thing, ethnic cleansing over there. How many heard ethnic cleansing? Genocide. Oh, the Jews are better than that. That was done by Hitler. Now they're doing it. That is a lie. No nation in history has done what Israel has done for the enemy. They have fed more and done more to feed people. They've done everything. They've dropped leaflets. These leaders over there holding the people in. By the way, the Egyptians, I just heard a big thing. They want war with Israel. And they're shutting off their border. They do not want the Palestinians to come in. They want to use that to slander Israel. They want war with Israel. And there's going to be a huge war with Israel. And you say, well, who's going to be involved in that war? Well, next time. Next time, we're going to look at that. Because I'm saying to you, these prophecies that I'm going to share with you, you're in the day. You're in the day. And some of them, they're happening right now. I believe you're in the midst of it. And they're falling out to you. And you can use that to stay alert, stay awake, and to serve God. Let's bow for prayer tonight, every head bowed and eye closed, and thank God for giving you the telescope, the third lens of Bible.